This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:07. You're listening to the evening edition with Sharmila and Lynn. So yesterday, opposition leaders met with the Prime Minister and emerged with handshakes, a press statement, all of which was leading up to the promise that we've turned a corner of sorts and that our politicians are ready for a more cooperative government. So we're finding out more today.
First up, the details. So the people who met with the Prime Minister were PKR leader, opposition leader Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim, DAP leader Lim Guan Eng, and Amanah President Mat Sabu. And after that, the Prime Minister released a press statement outlining what was discussed and saying that it was held in the spirit of the Agong's decree to reduce the political temperature in the country, which, as we know, has been feverish at best over the last few months. And the meeting lasted for over an hour. The main areas of discussion were initiatives for the rakyat battling COVID-19 and helping the people through an economy that has been affected by loss of jobs and income.
So the words pro-rakyat has been thrown around a lot, right? And both Anwar Ibrahim, as well as earlier, even before this meeting had happened, Lim Guan Eng have talked about how if the present government does make policies or chooses to act in a manner that is supportive of the current rakyat's needs and so on, that they are not going to stand in the way, that in fact that they're quite happy to cooperate. So following this meeting, Anwar also said that if Ismail Sabri acts in the interest of the rakyat, that the opposition won't complicate a vote of confidence. However, what wasn't discussed at the meeting, though, was the question of the National Security Council as well as cabinet positions. And Anwar did say that Harapan's stance not to pursue it is because it's focusing currently on the economy as well as COVID-19.
So they did say that with the National Security Council, it's still being considered. So we still don't know as yet whether or not we're going to see or who is going to step up from the opposition, if at all, to sit on that council. But yeah, I think a number of interesting things. I will say that yesterday, when the statement first came out, I think everybody was a bit flummoxed by it because it's sort of a... I wouldn't say that it doesn't contain anything, because as we just ran through, clearly there were points of discussion and all that, but there also weren't clear KPIs or resolutions in some ways.
A lack of detail might really be the thing to say.
A lack of detail, but very much, I think, a symbolic show, right? Releasing a statement with everybody's signatures, for example, taking those photos. In some articles and in some interviews, Anwar described a sort of joking atmosphere. So there is a show of friendliness. There is a show of cooperation. However, yes, let's go with lack of detail. However, if we look at what was actually discussed and the kinds of guidelines being set out, pro-rakyat, for example, what does that mean exactly? That's very loose.
Well, COVID and jobs. That's what the, again, very sort of loosely defined and not very specific. I do want to, however, point out that earlier in the week, Lim Guan Eng, of course, said that the opposition would be quite happy to be a part of the Security Council and the recovery from the pandemic. But I remember him using the words, as long as we are not a rubber stamp. And I think that's important to say, because even in this instance, it's all well and good to take the photos and to release the statement. But the opposition's role, of course, is to be a check and balance. And I hope that that's what this is viewed in. That's the spirit that this is viewed in.
So I love that you brought up check and balance, because that comes up always with the opposition. But I also think that because the term politicking has also been used so much, and also used whenever it is that there are particular gripes or, you know, particular things that are being brought up over and over again. And then I think sometimes that role of check and balance gets framed as noise, that, oh, you know, here's a bunch of people just making noise about stuff, you know, just interrupting the government's work. And so, I don't know, to go from that to having this new friendly, we're working together, we won't complicate matters kind of atmosphere is an interesting one.
I think it's a cautiously promising start. We've had a lot of people talk about how the current ruling coalition does need the opposition to support it to a large extent, because the parliament, you know, we are seeing a much more mixed parliament than we ever have before. So I think it's a cautious start, and I think I'd like to hear more details before I decide how I feel about it. We're talking about the meeting and the eventual statement from the Prime Minister as well as opposition leaders promising more cooperation moving forward. Let us know how you feel about this. How do you feel about this promise of cooperation? Call us 7732900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Coming up after this, we're going to be discussing this further with Iskandar Faris, who is Communications Director at REFSA. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Brainy, fancy material. BFM 89.9.
It is 5:14. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. And today we are discussing a meeting and subsequent statement issued by the Prime Minister as well as the opposition leaders, talking about more cooperation moving forward. We'd like to hear from you. How do you feel about this promise? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We're now joined by Iskandar Faris, Communications Director at REFSA. Iskandar, good to have you back with us.
Thank you, Sharmila. Thank you, Shilin. Good to be here.
What were your impressions of yesterday's meeting between Ismail Sabri and the opposition leaders?
I feel that the meeting and the subsequent statement is a good early step or first step, and it's encouraging if we are looking at introducing a more mature democratic process in Malaysia. But to be cautious, it's still early days. It's just a statement. We should ask for more details as the days unfold, because really the devil is in the details. They can say that they are open for cooperation, but at the end of the day, the Prime Minister Ismail Sabri will face a vote of confidence when the parliament opens, and that will be the testament of whatever discussion that has taken hold throughout this time. So I see it more of a declaration of intent, and perhaps this will be used to keep Ismail Sabri's internal rivals at bay for the time being.
So in the short term then, how significant is this very public show of solidarity with the multiple signatures on one statement and the like?
Well, it is encouraging to see the Prime Minister repeat the statement that was thrown out into the public by the opposition, the PH leaders, saying that they look forward to cooperate in the terms of COVID, economic management, even institutional reforms. So this coming from an UMNO Prime Minister, we rarely see that happening. But then we need to hold these politicians to their word. It would be a good gesture if the Prime Minister, even though he said that there will be no opposition ministers in the cabinet, but start the process of limiting the powers of the executive while empowering the parliament. This can be done through more detailed talks on how the special select committees in parliament can serve a role in drafting new legislations, new policy proposals, especially in combating COVID together. And also, I think the makeup of parliament, there is the question of the speakers. We've seen in Johor how the speaker can be from the opposition side. Why can't the same thing occur in parliament? We can practice the same in parliament. The opposition member, the member of parliament, can be a speaker and deputy speaker, while the executive comes from the government. So that is those are new territories or new grounds we can explore when we talk about multi-partisan or bipartisan politics.
What might this tell us in terms of the opposition's openness to being on the National Security Council?
Well, when we talk about National Security Council or the National Recovery Council, even any other committees, that will again boils down to the roles and responsibilities being given to them. If the roles are just for advisory purposes or just an oversight after the fact, then it doesn't really add value, particularly to the opposition and also to the Malaysians as a whole, because you still have a situation where the executive comes up with the policy lock, stock and barrel, while just giving the parliament the function of a rubber stamp. But we are in a new age of politics that can no longer apply. The members of parliament have to be included at every stage of policy development, and this requires the reformation of parliament.
So in terms of cooperation and where these various parties lie, right? We haven't seen, for example, UMNO leaders rebuking the meeting. Past Secretary General Taqiyuddin Hassan, in fact, commended the cross-party cooperation. Do you think this signals a concerted shift away from PAS and UMNO's previous refusal, complete refusal to associate with DAP?
Well, this could stem from two things. One is the statement by the palace asking for a cool down in the political temperature so that everyone can work together to combat this existential threat of COVID. There's also the other reality, which is a political reality. They know that the current government is shaky. It's the majority is razor thin. It's similar to DPN 1.0. In terms of majority and support, and it could crumble any time of day if they don't play their cards well. So I think that there is that realization, and no parties, I think, even from the opposition or the government, wants to repeat the same political drama that we've seen last week. So I think they are ready as to try and play the game a little differently and see where it goes. So in this space, I think there is an opportunity to push for reforms. And I think civil society, the citizen, and the many Malaysians should push or hold the politicians accountable so that these reforms can be pushed out, because at the end of the day, it will benefit us at the end, altogether.
So this show of cooperation, or this show of intent of cooperation, how would this benefit UMNO?
Well, for now, UMNO wants to stabilize their hold on power. So whether they will give 100% reforms or 50% reforms, that's still up for us to see in the coming days. But what's for sure is that they can no longer bulldoze everything, either from on the partner side or on the opposition. So we are seeing now a willingness for UMNO to work across the aisle to at least extend the lifeline of the government. It might not be throughout its term. It can be up until the vote of confidence, and then it has to renegotiate another round with different blocks for the budget. We will see this as a norm. This will be the new norm in Malaysian politics, where the government has to buy lifeline after lifeline for each stage of policy going through the parliament, or even budgets and even other legislations.
So one phrase that stood out for both of us was this idea of a pro-rakyat commitment, which Anwar basically said, you know, the opposition won't complicate the confidence vote provided the government commits to being pro-rakyat. How could this sort of commitment be demonstrated? What might it look like?
This lies the conditional approval or support I read from this statement, in a way that whatever commitment shown or demonstrated yesterday wasn't a blanket support. It comes with precondition that some of the policies that have been championed by PH should be included in the government's agenda or program. Because let's not forget, Anwar, DAP and other parties within the opposition bloc has come up with different sorts of ideas and policies to combat COVID and to manage the economy better. So I read this in a way that these programs and measures have to be included in the government programs, in the government budget, and that should be part of the terms and conditions of any agreement that comes afterwards. So I see that as that indication.
So you mentioned earlier that this is the time to push for reforms. And the opposition, of course, has also emphasized that yesterday's meeting must be followed up with true reform. Talk to us about the issues that need to be addressed urgently.
Well, there are a few issues that needs to be dealt urgently. One is the saving of lives and livelihood. Next is a different approach or reset in managing the pandemic. Number three is institutional reform. Even though people say that it's not urgent, but to maintain political the longevity of administration, the government needs to concede some of the roles previously held by the executive. Maybe then empower parliament to be part of the process and all the other MPs to be part of the drafting of legislations and policies. So this could be a new compromise that we see. The other one is electoral reforms. Why? Because we know that this will be the last government before we head into the general election. So the Malaysian public would like to see reforms in a way of postal voting and how can we exercise our duty, our democratic duty, in a safe manner without being haunted by the ills of COVID. So we've seen other countries conduct their elections in the pandemic situation, like New Zealand, US, and other Singapore. So use this time to implement reforms for the electoral process as well. So these are some of the lists or checklists that the new government needs to put on their table, and I think the general public will keep the government accountable on its commitment.
So, do you think we can expect anything major to happen between now and when Parliament is sitting in September?
I think anything that happens now will be major because we are in a new uncharted territory. Even today, when Ismail Sabri went to present his cabinet list, he didn't decide to announce it today. So that might signal something going on behind the scenes. So we can expect a few surprises here and there, but just to manage our expectations, however high expectations we have, we need to tone it down a bit. We might not get 100%, we might not get 70%, we might just get 40%, but that's progress in the democratic way.
Iskandar, thanks for speaking with us today.
Thank you, Shirley. Thank you, Shamila.
That was Iskandar Fariz, Communications Director at REFSA, talking to us about the meeting and statement that was jointly released from the Prime Minister and opposition leaders, talking about an intent to cooperate in the coming days. Let us know what you think. How do you feel about this promise of cooperation between the opposition and the ruling coalition? Call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.